Project, your source for everything women, fashion, beauty, fitness, lifestyle, and entertainment, heard right here on WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County. Welcome to the Bryn Project, and coming up on the show today, we're talking some fall and winter fitness tips. But first, since we are coming to the end of October and November is American Diabetes Month, and recent research has shown that those diagnosed with diabetes are at a higher risk for coronary artery disease, a new campaign called the Make the Link Diabetes, Heart Disease, and Stroke is rising in popularity. Here to chat more about the connection of these three diseases is the chairman for the Department of Cardiology at St. Francis Hospital, Dr. Richard Schlafmetz. Hi, Dr. Schlafmetz. How are you today?
Good. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for coming on the program. And first, briefly describe to us what coronary artery disease is.
So coronary artery disease relates to when you have a buildup of blockage in one of your coronary arteries. As you may know, the heart pumps blood around the body, but it needs to get its own blood supply, and it gets it via arteries called coronary arteries, which there are three of. And if you develop a blockage in any one of those arteries, it can limit flow to the muscle and can cause symptoms of angina, which is an indication that there's a blockage. And if the artery closes completely, it can cause a heart attack. And you can sort of think of it like a garden hose bringing water to a lawn. If that garden hose is kinked and water doesn't get to the lawn, you get a brown lawn. And if no water goes through, you get mud. And same thing happens with the heart. If you don't get blood going to the muscle, you can have a heart attack.
Now, what is the connection exactly between something like diabetes and coronary artery disease?
Well, it's not just coronary artery disease. You know, we talked about coronary artery disease as a blockage in an artery going to the heart, but you could have blockages in any artery. If a blockage is going to your head, that could cause a stroke. If a blockage goes to your kidneys, it could cause renal failure, and you would need dialysis. And if a blockage goes to your legs, it can cause claudication or peripheral vascular disease, and ultimately could need an amputation. So disease can build up in any artery, and the connection with diabetes and arterial disease of any organ system is that by not processing the sugar properly, plaque could build up in the arteries, and that's where diabetes and coronary artery disease have this link. By having your sugar out of control, it increases the risk of buildup of blockage in those arteries. It increases the risk of buildup of blockage in the arteries and could cause heart attacks. So it's very important, especially with adult onset diabetes, which there are certain risk factors which we could modify to help prevent that progression.
Now, you mentioned this is really important for those with the adult onset. Are people who have type 1 diabetes, where it's something that they're born with rather than the diabetes they get as they get older that's a little more hereditary, are they still at risk?
They're at risk too. And, you know, unfortunately, when you have juvenile diabetes, it's something that you're going to be at risk for your whole life. And certainly you want to stay healthy, but you're going to have diabetes no matter what in that situation. With adult onset diabetes, you have a chance by modifying your lifestyle, activities, diet. By doing that, you may prevent the need of even needing medication, which would never happen with juvenile. So you have an active role. And the thing is, this doesn't start when you're 50 years old. This starts when you're 20 years old. So you need to be active in looking at this and watching very carefully to find out exactly when you have diabetes, what am I going to do to prevent it from getting worse? And that's really the difference.
And it sounds like if you start at the age of 20 and you have those genetics for type 2 diabetes, then you're less likely to have the risk of getting type 2 diabetes because your family member had it.
It'll decrease the risk, and even if you get it, it won't be as severe.
And that's great to know. What are some things that people who have been diagnosed can do just to manage that a little bit better and prevent the risk of something a little more serious happening?
Okay. Well, the first thing is recognition, as you point out, which means that diabetes doesn't have a neon sign on it flashing saying, hey, you have diabetes. You need to go to your doctor. There's some simple blood tests that you can get, which will help tell you if you have diabetes. And once you recognize that you have it, the things that you could do, exercise and diet modification. I don't mean to go on a diet for 2 months. I'm talking about changing your lifestyle. You need to stay thin, active, decrease your fat content, and you need to exercise every day. Exercising twice a week doesn't do it for you. You need to exercise on a daily basis, and the exercise could be something as simple as walking on a treadmill or walking outside in a park, but doing it every day is a critical thing to do.
And you're right, that's definitely a very easy way to incorporate an active lifestyle in. It's definitely something that not just is good for the body, but good for the mind. And with holidays coming up, I mean, Halloween being a big candy holiday this Friday, then you also have Thanksgiving not too far away, and then Christmas, the treats are just going to be a huge temptation.
And one of the worst things for you. And again, if you have some, that's fine. It's moderation is the key.
Okay, so you're not saying they can't have any at all. You're just saying to keep that in mind. What are some tricks that maybe you've helped people to keep that mindset of moderation so that they're not giving into temptation too much?
Well, you know, again, this is not something about a month. It's about a permanent thing in your life. So you want to figure out what you do in your life. Everybody's different. You want to figure out what you do that you can really make it work. For instance, for me, I like to have bread with dinner. Well, I stopped having bread come down at the plate, and I can then have my chicken parmesan once in a while, as long as I'm not having five rolls with it. So you might be someone who likes candy in between or ice cream or dessert. Pick one thing that you do, try to limit that, and then you can, once you get to your ideal weight, you can have other things in moderation without a problem.
And that's definitely very helpful, because then they know, okay, well, if I want this, then I can pass on this at this meal.
Right, but it really comes down to, moderation. You don't want to do anything to excess.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like anything in excess, even too much of, say, fruit, could even necessarily be bad.
Sure, there's sugar in fruit, too. You know, get on the scale and weigh yourself. See how your pants fit you. You know, I don't actually weigh myself. I just know if my pants are tight, and I tell my wife to bring out the fat boy pants, time to diet.
Okay, so, I mean, that's definitely another great point, because you don't want to get so focused on the number on the scale, because that's really just a number. You want to focus on the way your body's responding and review, okay, am I eating too many sugars or too many of something that I shouldn't be eating?
Or too much of anything, just decrease portion control.
Well, where can people go to learn more about reducing their risk for things like diabetes, for coronary artery disease, but also just to learn more about ways to be healthier and get in that healthier mindset?
Well, the American Diabetic Association and Medtronic are teaming together to make this awareness, and they have a website, diabetesforecast.org, diabetesforecast.org, and it has multiple links to help you figure out what I need to do, what I need to look for, what do I do to go about to get this under control.
All right, and thank you so much for coming on the program, Dr. Schlafmuth.
Well, you have a great day.
You too. And that was Dr. Richard Schlafmuth. He is the chairman for the Department of Cardiology at St. Francis Hospital in New York. And he mentioned that walking is actually one way to be healthier and to lower the risk for something like type 2 diabetes and also coronary artery disease. And this Saturday, the American Diabetes Association will actually be in Philly with their Step Out Walk to Stop Diabetes event. It's an event for all ages beginning at 8 a.m. with their warm-up activities. And then that walk will be at 9:30 for those who want to get involved. And at the walk, there will be a couple special appearances by Patti LaBelle and actress Apatha Murkerson, who you may know this actress from her long-running role as Lieutenant Anita Van Buren on Law & Order. But what many of her fans may not know is that she actually also has diabetes, so she has to be very conscious of what she's monitoring, the kinds of foods she's taking in. And I got the chance to chat with Apatha about her role with the American Diabetes Challenge and what she plans to do for the walk this Saturday. Welcome to the show, Apatha. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on the program. And talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with the America's Diabetes Challenge.
Well, I am a diabetic, type 2 diabetic. And when Merck asked me to join them to encourage people with type 2 diabetes to know their A1C, it seemed the perfect thing for me to do. I've learned quite a bit since I've been working on this campaign, and the most important thing is this A1C and spreading the word about the importance of it.
Now, for you mentioned that you also have diabetes. So when it comes to your career. I mean, most people know you from many well-known films and TV shows. How has this affected your work schedule?
Well, it hasn't affected my work schedule at all, because once I found out I was diabetic, I started working with my doctor on a treatment plan so that I would be able to continue to work and continue to work in good health. And so we found out what the A1C was, and that number is you get it from a blood test, and it allows your doctor to get an average blood sugar level over, say, a 2 to 3 month period, and then that allows him to help you, him or her, forgive me, to help you with a program, a treatment program that will be lifestyle changes, you know, eating, exercising, and if prescribed, medication.
Wow, so this definitely is something to help make sure that you're making the right eating choices, that you're not taking in too many sugars.
Absolutely, and also making sure that you're exercising. You know, it's a combination of things. Those three things are the lifestyle change that you have to make.
Now, for you, how would you say that lifestyle really changed? Did you find before this diagnosis that you weren't necessarily being as healthy as you needed to be?
Yeah, I believe so. I see the difference now in the way that I'm eating now, and how I have a little more energy when I exercise. And, you know, and it's changed over the years. It has not always stayed the same. I think that's important for people to know, too, that your treatment plan may change, but don't get discouraged. You keep seeing your doctor and work to reach your goal. Type 2 diabetes is manageable.
Is that something that you've noticed with a lot of people with diabetes, that they find themselves getting discouraged because they think that they're limited on what they can eat?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily limited on what they eat, but what we should always keep in mind is that it's a progressive disease, so as you get older it may change, you know what I mean? So it's important that you stick to the plan that you've set with your doctor. And again, I'll have to say my plan has changed over the years, and so I think that why people will take to the words that I'm saying is because I'm living them. You know, what I say to you is what I've gone through. And so it's important that folks not get discouraged, but know that this is something that will make you proactive in your health care, going to your doctor and getting the, knowing what your A1C is and working with the doctor to come up with a plan for you and sticking to it so that you might make goals. There are 29 million Americans with diabetes, and nearly half of them are not at goal. So what we're saying then becomes very important in terms of our health care.
And it definitely is very important, because while diabetes is something that's manageable, if it's not taken care of, it could lead to even more serious health conditions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So with the event coming up this Saturday, talk to us a little bit about some ways that this will raise awareness for diabetes and get people health conscious.
Well, I'd love people to stop at our booth, America's Diabetes Challenge, and pledge with me to know their A1C. I think this is a great opportunity to get the message across to a lot of people. I'm definitely going to be there. I'll be there for the beginning of the walk, and I'm so looking forward to it. The Step Out Walk, from my understanding, it is one of the oldest fundraisers of this kind, and so I'm really happy to be a part of it.
And that's awesome. Now, you mentioned you'll be there for the beginning of the walk. Will you actually be walking?
Well, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. Absolutely.
That's awesome to hear that people can not only hear about your story, hear about everything you're doing to help make sure that they're doing what they can to take control of their diabetes or their body, but that you're making sure you're walking and taking care of your body.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, listen, there are tons of ways to use celebrity, but this is just, to me, it's important to be able to pass information and things that will be helpful to people as they go on their daily lives. And, you know, to, again, I repeat to this, to know that they're not alone and to not get discouraged, that, you know, information is really, knowledge is the power. And the more we know, the more we're able to take care of ourselves. And so, again, I'm really looking forward to this event, the Step Out event. And plus, I love Patti LaBelle. So, you know, I want to see Patti LaBelle, too. So I'm excited about that as well.
That's awesome. Now, what are some of the other things that people can expect to see at this Step Out event? You mentioned you're excited for Patti LaBelle, but what else?
Well, you know, there will be tons of booths there, ours included, the America's Diabetes Challenge. I think that, you know, it's a great way for people to come and get information. And then, you know, just walking with people who have loved ones, who, you know, family members and friends, and being supportive of a chronic disease that, you know, we need to really start paying attention to. Again, there are 29 million people, Americans in this country with diabetes. So this walk becomes very important and to trying to get those numbers down and letting people know that they can be proactive in their health care. So I'm looking forward to everything that's going to happen this weekend. And I hope that a lot of people, your people who listen to you, will come and be a part of this event. They can go to americasdiabetes.com to get some information, or to the American Diabetes Association website, diabetes.org. And I hope to see a lot of folks down.
And it's definitely creating that support system in the diabetes community for anyone who might get discouraged. What time is the walk on Saturday?
Well, there's a warm-up at 8:30, and then the walk starts at 9:30 in the morning at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Awesome, and thank you so much for coming on the program, Apatha.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
That was Apatha Merkerson. She is most well known for the role of Lieutenant Anita Van Buren on Law and Order. And she was talking about an event this Saturday for the American Diabetes Association. It is their Step Out Walk to End Diabetes. And that, I believe she said the warm-up event started at 8:30. The walk itself starts at 9:30, and she will be walking. She mentioned that Patti LaBelle will also be there with an appearance. So definitely get there, support someone you know that has diabetes, get yourself healthy at the same time. We're going to take our first commercial break, but stay tuned. You're listening to The Brin Project.
Mondays at 1 p.m. for Perspectives on Parenting with me, Julia Sherwin. I'll talk to experts, from pediatricians and positive discipline educators to parenting authors and feeding specialists. And at the end of each show, I'll have what I learned as a parent this week so you can get a sneak glimpse into my life as a parent. It's all about perspective. I hope you'll tune in. That's every Monday at 1 p.m. Perspectives on Parenting with Julia Sherwin.
Sometimes the perfect way to express an emotion or celebrate a special occasion is with flowers. For flowers for any occasion or just because, no one does it better than Katie Mack Floral Designs. Katie and her staff can help you pick flowers or an arrangement that everyone will love. And Katie Mack Floral Designs provides same-day delivery on all bouquets. If you're looking for a unique floral design that will stand out from all the others, Katie Mack is the place. Katie Mack Floral Designs is located at 365 South High Street in the heart of Westchester. Order your flowers by calling 610-431-9414. That's 610-431-9414. If you need an idea for the perfect bouquet, visit their website, Katie, spelled K-A-T-I, Mack, M-A-C, floraldesigns.com. Katie Mack Floral Designs is the official florist for the Morning Magazine and Eat, Drink, and Dish. Make Katie Mack the official florist for your family, too.
When the trail starts fighting, you need an ATV that's ready to fight back. This year, all 2015 Honda 4-Track Foreman Rubicons have a new independent rear suspension for all-day trail comfort. You choose manual transmission or automatic dual clutch transmission. There's even optional electric power steering. And of course, they all have a powerful 475cc engine with increased hauling and towing capacity, a new reverse lever, and new rugged styling. Learn more about the 2015 Honda Foreman Rubicon at ATV.Honda.com. For riders age 16 and older only, Honda recommends that all ATV riders take a training course and read the owner's manual thoroughly.
Hi, I'm Maxim Shmigowski, and you're listening to WCHE 1520 AM.
Welcome back to the Brennan Project. Before the break, we were discussing how to reduce our risk for some things like diabetes. And for those diagnosed, we also talked about how to better manage our diet and fitness plans. And while we're taking care of our body, it's important to make sure that we know that taking care of our body is something that can help us live a long, happy life. But it's also important to enjoy seizing the day. I came across a list of what is actually 30 ways to live life to the fullest. And I just wanted to share a couple of those items in the list with you so that way you know that while you're taking care of your body, you're not just doing what you have to do, but you're also able to do things that you want to. So the first thing is take time to act like a kid. While we all have the responsibilities to take care of, we do need to have that time where we can be silly and have fun. And then try and find that inner optimist. You don't necessarily have to worry about the bad news or worry about the worst possible outcome, but rather shine on the light of the good things and the things that you're grateful for. Try taking a hike. You can be amazed at the beautiful scenery while you're getting in a nice workout. Then also try getting over a grudge. You don't want to waste time on a grudge because staying mad will harm you more than it'll harm the person who you're mad at or the situation you're mad at. It's really just affecting you internally and causing you that extra stress. You could even try and take the time to get a little artsy, whether it's painting, music, anything that you might consider art. Find a way to bring out your inner artist. A lot of people still like to write poetry. You find a lot of artists taking their time creating songs. It really is what you consider art, but that can even help to get that extra stress out that you might have to help you get over that grudge, which was the previous one. Then get out of town. Plan a week-long or even a weekend-long time to get away. It can lower the stress hormones and also lower your blood pressure while giving you time to have fun. Try and find a hobby because a good hobby makes you lose all sense of time and self and liberates you every single day because then if you're doing that hobby, you're doing something you love. You don't necessarily have to focus on the stresses from maybe the work day or from anything that might be going on in your life. Then the final thing that I found is to make negativity a no-no. Turn that to-do list into an adventure. Push all those doubts to the side and write down your thoughts and feelings. It'll get you excited about doing everything that you have to do rather than feeling like, all right, this is the next thing on the list. I have to get it done. And then you're working kind of the way you don't necessarily want to. So all of these things have something in common. They're about taking time to enjoy life because too often we find ourselves living lives in stress and maybe even some of us find ourselves living in that turmoil. My next guest offers a solution to finding meaning and happiness in life. Her name is Milan Hollister, and she has a story about how she was inspired to really go back to the basics and find those core values. Her book is called Back to the Basics, 5 Core Values Revitalized. Welcome to the show, Milan, and talk to me a little bit about the inspiration behind your new book, Back to the Basics, 5 Core Values Revitalized.
Well, like most people, I've had some ups and downs in my life, and I decided to try to figure out what was going on within me. That led me to a 7-year journey abroad, looking not really for the answers at the time, but I found a lot of them. At the time, the whole experience was really just about experiencing life and trying to really almost get away from what was going on with inside me. And in fact, what happened was after probably, I don't even know how many airplane miles, 30-some thousand, I realized I didn't need a passport, I needed a mirror. But I really came to find some great wisdom in those travels, and it comes back to the basics, the five core values you're vitalized, which are the love, truth, peace, right conduct, and nonviolence.
So in this time, let's go ahead and break down each of those values, starting with love.
Well, we'll start with love. It will take way too much time to break those all down.
Okay.
You'll have to get more detail in the book, but really it's very, very easy because love, if you don't even talk about the other values, love is the seed, it's the essence, it's the gateway to all other values. And when I travel to schools and I talk to small children, I tell them all the same thing. Life is like a test, and love, if you get love right on that test, then all the other answers on the test are in fact correct. However, if we get love wrong, then everything else falls out of place. You get everything else wrong.
Right, and love doesn't necessarily just have to do with a relationship or a significant other. It's really the love for our whole family, our friends, everyone in our life, even the people that maybe we don't necessarily know.
You know, that's a great point, that last part there. It's not just for the people around us. Love is unconditional. Love is selfless service to others. Those are the two definitions that I use when I talk about love, because love has become so romanticized in our world, and not only is it romanticized, but it's kind of ended up wavering on this sliding scale somewhere between ice cream and you know, the new car. And people shouldn't be on a sliding scale. We should love them unconditionally for who they are at all points, at all times. It should never be a choice. It should just be.
And I agree with you. I mean, and love can really bring so many different things, especially what a lot of people want when it comes to respect. Because if you show love to someone else and you show that respect, they in turn will show it to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a fantastic point. That is, and it's very true. You know, just because someone doesn't love us back the way that we want them to, that's an expectation. And of course, when we get into that attachment to how somebody is supposed to love us, then we're not passing the test. You know, we just have to honor people for who they are, love them for who they are. Love ourselves first and foremost. I mean, we've all heard the old adage, you can only, you know, love someone as much as you love yourself. So really learning to love yourself, find joy and peace and happiness within yourself. And that's a lot of what the book talks about, back to the basics. Goes over my tumultuous journey, my life journey of how it really took me, and I won't tell you how many years, but it took me a lot of time to figure that out. It wasn't so much about what was going on outside me, but what was going on within me.
So how have you learned to even show that love to others when maybe there are times you feel that they've wronged you, that they've disrespected you, and things along that matter?
Every day, I tell my friends this, every day is a quiz, every day. And they're pop quizzes. You don't even expect them. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're human. But honoring that within us, and when someone does something that you consider wrong, you know, taking that moment, taking that breath and saying, okay, what is this about? Because oftentimes when people are nasty to you, it's really not about you. It's about something going on with them. But we tend to take everything that's going on around us as people doing stuff to us. And that's not really what's happening. If we took a moment or could have some sort of superpower where we could look into the lives of and the feelings of what, you know, that person, we probably find a lot going on.
Mm.
So sometimes what's happening to us is really just the result of what's happening to them. So trying not to take things personally is usually the first two, really kind of not embracing the negativity.
And that's really a great point to bring up because, I mean, as human beings, we want to look into taking it personal, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with us. It's just, we just happen to be the target.
Mm-hmm. And that's often, you know, I mean, gosh, I hate to be a customer service rep because think of all the emotions that just come at you. It has nothing to do with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're just on the other end of the phone. That's your job.
Exactly. And, I mean, that right there shows that's probably one of the toughest jobs for the fact that they have to emotionally train themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And that's, you know, think of yourself as that. Because you are the customer service rep, if you will, in life. You're going around. You're going to the store. You're going to the store. You're going to all these different places. And that's what it is. You're getting this feedback from all these strangers and even people, of course, in your life. And saying, okay, this, you know, this is not about me. I got this. You know, this, I'm strong within. That's where peace comes in, that centeredness. This is not about me. So how can I help you?
So really, it sounds like what you've described is love is the first core value to start with, and then the other four that you bring up in your book, love will then transcend into those other four.
Exactly. You're spot on. That's exactly it. Because there's a natural progression. if you loved yourself and others, you wouldn't think to lie. You wouldn't think to lie to yourself. You wouldn't think to lie to others. You'd figure out a way to communicate and express yourself with honesty. If you loved yourself and you loved others, you wouldn't think to not make good choices that were not just good for yourself, but good for others, good for the planet. And so it does. It, everything kind of weaves itself into the other values.
And that's definitely a great point to bring up, that it's not about loving others. It's about loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And that's what the journey for me was about. It was, you know, it was 7 years. It was, it's been more than 7 years. It's been my whole life. But that, you know, I just really kind of pull out a chunk of time, starting, of course, with the beginning, but really a chunk of time. And that's what the whole journey was about. It wasn't about all this superfluous stuff. It was just, it was about me and about love. That was really it, those two things. And I am that love, so it really was, no, we whittle it down to one thing. It was just one thing.
Wow. Well, it definitely sounds like your book is a must-read for a lot of people, just to help get them thinking and even reevaluating their habits, their behaviors, all of that. So where can people go to pick up a copy of your book?
You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and you can certainly check out my website at MilanHollister.com, or you can just hashtag MilanHollister.
Awesome. And thanks so much for coming on the program, Milan.
I really appreciate it, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
And that was Milan Hollister. She's the author of the book Back to the Basics, Five Core Values Revitalized. And she spent a lot of time talking about the first core value, because that really is the one that sets the standard for the other core values, because that love will transcend into everything, whether it's us loving and respecting and being honest with ourselves. And also other people, we need to make sure that we love ourselves and others, not even just people close to us, but the people that we're just passing by on the street. Let's go ahead and take our final commercial break, but stay tuned. You're listening to The Brenna Project.
Safe Hunting PA in a minute, brought to you by Ram.
Being a great hunter requires a lot of skill and a commitment to safety. Hunting for a great truck, however, only requires tracking down your nearest Ram dealer. That's because Ram 1500 is the only truck with an available class-exclusive eco-diesel engine that gets up to 28 miles per gallon highway and can haul 9,200 pounds. See your local Ram dealer today. Guts. Glory. Ram. Based on standard pickup and automotive news classifications. EPA estimated 20 at mpg highway based on EcoDiesel V6 4x2. Max towing capacity when properly equipped. Ram is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group LLC.
Hunting is hard work, and the Pennsylvania Game Commission urges hunters to stay in shape. Get a checkup and follow your doctor's advice. Exercise to strengthen your core muscles. Walking, running, hiking, and biking are great ways to help build endurance. Make sure to stretch before you exercise and gradually increase your exercise routine. For more information, log on to PennsWilds.com.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you want to know what's happening in Harrisburg and across Pennsylvania, then you need to check out PAMatters.com. Video, audio, news article features, and reporter blogs will keep you in touch with your lawmakers at the state capitol. Every month, we bring you an exclusive conversation with Governor Tom Corbett as he answers your questions submitted through PAMatters.com. Bookmark PAMatters.com today. We're also on Facebook. Click like and join in the conversation on the PA Matters page. PAMatters.com. People, politics, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Jenny Garth, and you're listening to The Brin Project on WCHE, 1520 AM.
Oh, Welcome back to the Bryn Project. And last week, I thought that this was the last episode with health correspondent Sarah Duran, but we have a special treat because this week is actually our last segment together. So it's a little bittersweet, sad, but at the same time, a happy time. And we thought the best thing to do would be talking about signs of a healthy body, but also some fall and winter fitness ideas. So hey there, Sarah.
Hi, Bryn.
Hey, so I'm glad that you're able to come on for the last week of my show.
I am too.
Well, it's definitely great to have you on. And as we're working on that healthy lifestyle, we can tend to get sidetracked, especially when we think about the temperatures dropping. We don't necessarily want to be outside, so then we might get a little bit lazier. But what are some ways that we can make sure that our body is staying healthy?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. Researchers found that we produce a chemical in the winter months that actually promotes fat storage. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And so unfortunately that doubled with the study participants during the winter months. And in the summer, it went down. So, but the good news is exercise may increase a muscle enzyme that promotes the burning of fat. So if we get about 30 minutes most days of exercise, that will really counteract it. And I'll tell you what, that really boosts my mood as well, which I know I have a problem with in the winter months when it's darker, mm-hmm. and also my carb cravings. It really helps with that too. And a little thing to keep in mind with that is to try to spend at least 20 minutes daily outside. And then, obviously you can choose what works in your lifestyle, but, if you can do that to get the light, that's fantastic. Even just sitting by a bright window, maybe reading or catching up on your emails may help you as well, and that will help boost your mood and hopefully cut back on your carb cravings.
But that's interesting, though, that while the winter, because of the cold weather, we tend to want to be a little bit lazier, but then our bodies also are kind of working against us because it's promoting fat storage a little bit more.
I know. Isn't that frightening? And so, I mean, I have anecdotally just start talking to people, stories, trading stories. And yeah, people can gain 3 to 5 pounds, and, wow. and actually it's pretty scary, right? Because that's only over a few months. And then I just feel like it's, 3 to 5 pounds isn't too much depending, what you are to start, how tall you are, et cetera. But, still that kind of can discourage you and once again make it harder to exercise. I know my running suffers if I've just gained 3 pounds. My body feels it, and it's just harder on my joints. And so, it's better to keep a steady weight if you can, and exercise definitely helps with that.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. And then you don't feel guilty if maybe you do have those carb cravings because you're not necessarily foregoing that workout.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the carbs we usually crave, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's like potatoes or mashed mm-hmm. potatoes or whatever it is for you. But just try to get the low-carb snacks, or healthier carbs, I should say. So sweet potatoes, that sort of thing. Even like cinnamon toast is a little bit better. Oatmeal. I love popcorn, so that kind of like helps with my carb cravings. And that can be really healthy. I mean, it depends what you put on it, obviously, but you can just do it air popped and that sort of thing. And then at least you have fiber, too, that helps fill you up.
Oh, yeah, and they're all still tasty foods. It's not like you're sacrificing the taste for some supposedly healthy dish that doesn't
exactly
taste good.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to totally cut out carbs because, I'm never about extreme diets,
Right.
And you want that because your serotonin levels go down naturally because of the lack of light. I think that is why my mood goes down too. And then I get hungry and tired, which is a really bad combination. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of other people feel that way too. So you got to eat healthier, more protein, as well as some low-fat dairy, as well as the exercise. Exercise really can, works for me to boost my mood and, like I said, to cut back on the carb cravings. I still have them, but they're not as intense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with an occasional carb craving. It's just giving in every day to that rather than keeping things in moderation.
Exactly. The hundreds of calories eventually do add up, and, you know, you could gain a pound or two or even three, like we talked about over the winter. You know, and then it can be discouraging because your clothing might not fit right. And, mm-hmm. and on that note, too, you know, don't give in to all the baggy clothing or, like, you know, oversized clothing. Really just, you know, keep in mind if your clothing starts to get tight, it's usually a sign that, you know, you're overdoing it a bit. Maybe you're not exercising enough. And it's a good indication, especially if you don't like to use a scale.
Right. I mean, for some people, they might like to go for the trends, go for that baggier clothing, but don't feel like you have to go for that because you feel like you've gained some pounds and you want to hide it.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a link with your mood. You know, if you dress kind of sloppily or like you're going to lounge around, you tend to lounge around.
Oh.
You know? And so it's interesting, too, you know, the workout wear is actually kind of in style now. You know, a lot of people run errands in it, and I know I do. And mm-hmm. so that's the trendy, you know, kind of outfit. Sportswear is in style. So, you know, why not go ahead and wear that and get your workout in, you know, however that may be. For me, it's the morning. Some people, it's before they go to work. Maybe it's at lunchtime. If you can, after work's a good time, too, except for it's, you know, a little tricky then with dinner time. And a lot of times that's family time, too, for people. So morning workouts are usually the best because then you get it over with and you get an energy boost, too, for the rest of the day.
Right. And for a lot of people, I know that morning workout can be hard, especially in the winter, because it's even colder and it's darker. So
I know.
You don't necessarily have the motivation.
I know. Winter does make it hard, doesn't it? I was just in Florida. Oh, they've got it easier. But anyway, yeah, but we can still do it. I mean, I absolutely think that you should not give up on your exercise routine, whether that means bringing it inside, whether you have a treadmill at home or a bicycle or whatever it is you like to do. Maybe you do like, you know, snow sports or like skiing or cross-country skiing. That would be fantastic to get your exercise in. But, you know, if it's running, which is my passion, you know, just try to get trail shoes that have better traction. And make sure you're preparing yourself for the workout with the right gear. You know, you do need more layers. You should be a little cold the first few minutes. That's okay because you're going to heat up from exercising. I always say if I can handle the first kind of half mile, I'm in good shape because then your endorphins kick in and you're feeling good and you're glad that you're out there in the sunshine. And just mm-hmm. be careful. Take shorter strides. Don't run in the ice. I mean, that's a little too much. I usually don't run if there's snow outside, but definitely not if it turned into ice. And then try to, like, cut back on the hill. You know, then there's a up, you know, that ups the chance that you could get hurt.
Right. I mean, but even with the cold, you're right. The more we're running into it, the less we're going to feel it. Now, as we're moving from fall into winter, what are some other signs that we can see if our body's just kind of losing some signs of being healthy?
Yeah, so I guess I would just say keep in mind, too, that, you know, you don't have to be thin to be healthy. And I know we probably know people that are thin and not necessarily healthy. You know, maybe they're big smokers or maybe they just don't exercise and they're naturally thin. That doesn't mean they're any healthier than you if you think you're 10 or 15 pounds overweight. You know, you could be healthy because you're eating a healthy diet and you're exercising. So, mm-hmm. for example, my weight range, they call it an ideal body weight, and you can look it up online with a calculator, like Everyday Health. I'm 5'5", so my ideal weight range is 114 to 144 pounds. So that's quite a range, you know?
That is.
So, you know, and I'm about 122-ish. So, you know, so that's fine. I'm in the range. So just keep that in mind, too, that you don't have to be ultra thin, you know, even though we feel like that's what society is telling us we should be.
Right.
You know, we should be toned and have good energy.
Right. And while that range might be quite a big range, it does account for the fact that we all are unique shape and size. We're not all going to be that girl who has, say, that thigh gap.
Absolutely. And your skin, hair, and nails can be an indication, too, of your health. You know, your skin could be dull and splotchy. Again, you might be smoking cigarettes. That's sometimes a telltale sign on your skin. You know, you might have damaged hair. Your nails might be weak. So, you know, the skin, hair, and nails require protein, iron, and other nutrients. So a lot of times you can tell, you know, if your diet is lacking and maybe you're not exercising or taking good care of yourself, you can tell, you know, and it shows in your looks. So, and if you're fatigued, you know, if it's a sudden change out of the ordinary, I would see a doctor. But, you know, you should try to keep your energy levels up with the healthy diet and absolutely the exercise. That's really what boosts my energy.
Right. I mean, exercise is definitely something that if we're starting it out with the morning, it sets us up. We may not even necessarily need that cup of coffee in the morning.
I know. Isn't it fantastic? I mean, it's just such a natural thing for us to do. And, I mean, I know we're always, it's hard to get motivated sometimes, especially with the darker weather and the colder weather. But once you do it, don't you always think, you know, I'm so glad I did this. And, you know, maybe not during. You may still be suffering during the workout. But afterwards, you're so pleased that you did it. And your body thanks you for it. And, it, you know, it really does, especially as I'm, you know, entering my 40s. I really need it. You know, it's really something that makes me feel good. And it's, you know, it's something social because I teach Pilates. So I love helping other women and men, you know, stay in shape. So, you know, you just got to find your passion, what you enjoy as far as exercise, and keep it up.
Right, because whether it's investing in your own cardio equipment, getting to the gym, just getting off the couch doing sit-ups, crunches, squats, things like that while you're watching TV, at least you're getting active.
Absolutely. There's so many options to do it at your house that there's really actually no excuse anymore not to be active.
Exactly. And thank you so much for coming on the program, Sarah. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, and I appreciate the years that I've been able to be on your show, and good luck to you.
Thank you, and yeah, you're right. I think you've been with my show from the very beginning.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been really, really thrilled to talk to you and all your listeners.
Well, it's definitely been a pleasure talking to you all of the years, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
That was Sarah Duran. She is a health correspondent, and also she's a Pilates instructor. And we have come to the end of the show, which means that I only have one more show left here in WCHE, but I'm saying that's one more show for now. It's not one more show forever. And this Saturday, since there is a Westchester University football game at 12 p.m., you can tune in for my show from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then, as always, you can check out BrynMcHenry.wix.com/TheBrynProject. Also, Facebook.com/TheBrynProject. Until next time, don't forget to get outside and get active.